In the name of Jesus. The words of a poem which was added in one of the Christmas cards in December last year still resound in my ears even in this season of Lent. The poem said very briefly, "On Christmas Day, I weep. Good Friday, to rejoice." These words eliminate any sentimentality or over-romantic reflections on the little baby Jesus. On the other hand, they also remove utter despair and helplessness from the Good Friday. Should we then rejoice as we journey towards the Good Friday? Should the gospel still dominate our hearts during this Lenten season? Are we supposed to? Someone may want to ask. Would it be okay to be under the gospel even in the season of Lent? It all depends on whether you are talking about yourself or whether you are talking about Jesus. Am I forgiven because I am sorry and I have confessed my sins? Am I forgiven because I have a lot of faith? Or am I forgiven because I have a Savior? Are you talking about yourself? Or are you talking about Christ being drawn ever closer to your own Savior? We only get to the joy of Lent if we get to the gradual in the liturgy which every Sunday in Lent would have us sing, "Come, let us fix our eyes on Jesus, the author and finisher of our faith, who, for the joy set before him, endured the cross, scorning its shame, and sat down at the right hand of the throne of God." When we follow Jesus on his way to Calvary, we are on the Lenten journey which draws us closer to him. But there is Peter here and there and all the time in us. Peter, who denied Jesus publicly not only once, not merely twice, but three times. Instead of confessing Jesus, we deny him repeatedly and habitually. We may still pretend, but we know it as we examine our hearts, thoughts, words, and deeds. Sin is an attempted murder of God, getting rid of him so that I will take over and take control of my life. Getting rid of him, we make our own gods according to our notion of how he should be God. In the Large Catechism, Dr. Luther identified such gods: Mammon, great learning, wisdom, power, prestige, family, honor, Saint Apollonia, Saint Lawrence, Saint Sebastian. As the list goes on, it begins to sound like poor Japanese people who need to serve such specialized gods as one for prosperity and making more money, another for safe delivery of the baby, still another for successful completion of the academic program. But then Dr. Luther continues that the greatest idolatry is found in the religious life, where one trusts his or her works for salvation. This is the worst kind of God that we are capable of designing, according to Luther, because in the pretense of a pious Christian life, one is unwilling to receive all the good things from God alone. Refusal to receive gifts from him, and yet he is a God who does not use compulsion with us. Probably for anxiety for his own safety, Peter denied and failed to confess Jesus when he said, "I neither know nor understand what you are saying," in the form of a formal legal denial in rabbinic tradition. "And I do not know this man whom you are talking more explicitly. These heavy words of Peter are contrasted with his words just a few hours before. He said, "Even though they," namely the 11, "fall away, I will not. If I must die with you, I will not deny you." Peter's bold faith statement did not guarantee his faithfulness. In this way, on his way to Calvary, Peter failed. On the way to Good Friday, during this Lent, we also fail to follow Jesus because we still would like to talk about ourselves. Moreover, we fail religiously and piously. So in Lent, we know ourselves to be sinners, but we do not stay stuck sinking down where we are at with our sins, trying to work them out. We see our sins taken on by Him and carried to Calvary, where He answered for them all completely with His blood. All of us have sins to bear, and we can choose to hang on to our sins and say, "I will take care of my sins myself, thank you." But there is one who has taken our sins himself, for he did not have his sins of his own to bear. Therefore, it is not so important to talk about ourselves in examining how sorry I am or how strongly I have come to trust him. We may continue to talk about our faith, but that is not actually faith talk at all. For faith does not talk about faith itself. Faith has nothing to talk about but only what it is given. If you take Jesus out of your faith, nothing remains. The ground of certainty is not in your faith, as if you could conquer your doubts and sins with your own resources. But when you see your sins there with Him, then there is nothing you should fear. Your confidence is located not in yourself or anything that you would think to produce out of yourselves that you might call faith, but outside yourselves, in Jesus. The joy of the Good Friday is when our Savior cries, "It is finished." He has done it all. He suffered himself to be rejected. In your place he died and answered for all your sins with his blood. Your sins are located with him. They have become his. Still, we daily keep on being drawn back into our sins, as if there is something alternative way than the Jesus way for our lives. We make the Calvary not counting for our sins when we hold our sins back from Him and attempt to deal with them somehow ourselves. But we cannot play a game like this with Jesus. There isn't anything of us that doesn't need to be forgiven. We cannot hold anything outside of His forgiveness. To hold something outside of His forgiveness is take our sins back from Him and say, "I will take care of them, I take over, I take control of my life, I will answer for them myself." The evangelist Mark carefully crafted his gospel so that the denial of Peter in our text was heard by his original hearers as happening simultaneously with Jesus' hearing before the Sanhedrin. There Jesus confessed faithfully, while Peter denied him. In this way, Mark indicates that the weight of the gospel is not on the inward faith journey of Peter, but on Jesus on his way to Calvary. Another attention should be given to one important word which was inherited also in the early liturgies, the word alethos, truly. The bystanders accused Peter and said, "Truly, alethos, you are one of them, one of the disciples, for you are Galileans." The only other time that this word appears in the Gospel of Mark is when the centurion standing by the cross confessed, "Truly, Aletheos, this man was the Son of God." Again, the accent is not on Peter and his denial, but Jesus, who achieved our salvation and the confession of such a Lord. So in Lent, we learn to fix our eyes on Jesus and to confess him. We are not loved as much as we deserve or as we have earned, but we are loved as much as he thinks you are worth going through Calvary for. This is Jesus we rejoice in ever more deeply as we follow him through Lent on the way to Calvary, where he does it all in your place for you. So let us fix our eyes not on ourselves nor on our faith, but on Jesus. He delivers all that he achieved for you as your Savior through the means of grace in his church. You have nothing but to be given to. Let us fix our eyes on Jesus and rejoice. Amen.